Now, if you have a Bible, I'd like to just read two short scriptures. And the first one is from the Epistle to the Hebrews, and it's on page 1450, if your Bible is the same as mine. It's Hebrews and chapter 4, and I'd like to start to read from verse 12. For the Word of God is living and operative, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is not a creature unapparent before him, but all things are naked and laid bare to his eyes, with whom we have to do. Now, my second scripture is in the Old Testament, in Psalm 130. Again, it's just two verses I want to read from Psalm 130. That's page 778. Psalm 130 and verse 3. If thou, Jah, or Jehovah, or Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Those words at the end of that first section that I read, they come home to my heart that a day is coming soon when I'm going to meet God, the one with whom we have to do. It's a solemn thing, isn't it? Whoever we are, wherever we are in our soul history, a day is coming when we're going to have to meet God. How would it be if you met him tonight and you were still in your sins? Friend, the God that I present to you tonight is a righteous God. And moreover, he's a God who knows your heart through and through. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows my history. He knows the things I've done, both good and bad. But I thank God that he's provided for me a means of salvation. And that means of salvation is available to you tonight. And I want to tell you about it in the precious work of Jesus, because he's my Saviour. I present to you not just a sermon from the Bible. I present to you a man who is living tonight in the glory, and he's waiting and able to save sinners like you and me. Friend, believe me, if he could save me, he can save you. You young ones here tonight, or perhaps you think you haven't lived long enough to commit many sins, but you know just one would be enough. But Jesus, the Saviour, wants to draw nigh to you tonight because he wants to bless you. And I thank God that I have a way of salvation that I can present to you whereby these words are still true, that you will have to meet God. And it may be sooner than you think. But when you do, you need to make sure that your sins have been completely washed away through the precious work of Jesus. Now, how does all this come about? Well, God knew your condition of things. He knew your need. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. In fact, the scripture that I've read says that he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. I often reflect upon that scripture when I think of the thoughts and intents I've had in my life. Thoughts that I've had that I thought no one else knew anything else about them. Thoughts that I never confided to anybody because I wouldn't have wanted to. But there's a God who knew those thoughts. And just one of those thoughts was enough to bar me from the presence of God for eternity. And friend, tonight, I have a way of salvation that's opened up to you just as it opened up to me. And it's the precious work of Jesus. For God has given his only Son to die upon a cross and to bear the burden and the punishment of my sin so that you might go free. So that you might have hope and peace and joy that this world can never give you. And when you stand before God in that day, will it be enough to say that I came to the gospel? I came perhaps more than once to Sandown Road and I heard the message. Yes, but what did I do with it? Did I just put it in my pocket and carry it away? Did I just store it up in my mind but it didn't have any effect upon me? God desires that all men should be saved, but it's by way of repentance and faith in Christ and trusting in him to be your own personal saviour. As I said to you at the outset, I'm not here to preach a sermon to you. I'm here to present a glorious man who lives in heaven. And tonight, he lives and he's coming soon for all those that love him to take them to be with him forever. And I want to make sure that you're numbered among them. And you can be just by coming to Jesus tonight. You know, the gospel is preached not just so that we might take it in and hear it, but so that we might have a personal link with a saviour and a hope and a peace that this world can never give. I rejoice in a scripture like this now. Now that I'm saved, I don't mind that the word of God comes in and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I don't mind that there's one who is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Because I know that the work of Jesus has met every requirement that was outstanding between myself and God. And that peace has been made. And God says himself, come now, he says, and let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Friend, tonight, though they be crimson, they shall be as wool. Friend, that's for you tonight, that you can lay hold of it and know that when you have to go do with God, when you appear before him in a day to come, you appear before him not as a judge, but you appear before him as a God well known through Jesus' love. I often think of that day, you know, when many of us will stand before him, all of us, in a day to come. What will you say? What will you say in regard to your sins? What will you say in regard to the gospel message that you heard and decided you'd think about it later? What would you do, my friend, before a righteous and a holy God who told you from the scriptures that in a day to come you would have to do with him? Friend, the truth of the gospel is this. That you can have to do with him today. For now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. But you'll not have to do with him as a judge today. You'll have to do with him as a saviour God. And his heart is towards you, and there's blessing for you. You see, the precious work of Jesus, the one who was himself absolutely perfect, the one who was himself God's Son, whom he gave because he didn't desire the death of a sinner. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him may not perish, but may have eternal life. That's how much he loved you, to send his only Son into this scene. And here he was crucified and he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And he, the perfect Holy One of God, as he bore those sins upon the tree, he exhausted God's wrath in relation to them, so that that wrath shouldn't fall upon you or me, who justly deserved it, but it fell upon Jesus when he died for us upon Calvary's tree. And friend, the scripture tells us quite clearly that to make this your own, here's what you need to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's words of scripture. I don't need to add anything to that. But you come by way of repentance. That is, that you're before God as one who acknowledges that we've done wrong, but that there's one who's met those wrongs completely and has carried away God's judgment so that we might come into blessing. And friend, I commend God's love to you tonight. I commend it to you because the day is coming so soon when you are going to need to give an account of yourself before God. And I thank him that I can declare as I stand before him, Though there be many accusations against me which would be absolutely justified, yet I can point to the atoning blood of Jesus and say, that's made my peace with God. Oh friend, would you not have to do with this Saviour tonight? You know, there's wonderful blessing for you if you do. This world's looking for peace desperately, isn't it? But, you know, it won't find it until it finds it in the one who is himself the Prince of Peace. My peace I give unto you, Jesus said to his own. My peace. And that's the peace that can meet the sinner's need tonight, and it can meet yours. And I preach the gospel to you tonight. And I don't say to you, go home and think about it. I don't say go home and reflect upon what the preacher has said and what other preachers that you may have heard have said. But what I say is this. Make sure that you're prepared to meet God. And if that should be tonight, make sure you're ready by trusting in the precious work of Jesus and owning before him that you're a sinner and need a saviour, and you'll find that he'll hear your call and he's able and he's willing to meet the sinner's need. As I turn to my second scripture, I wanted you to know that there is forgiveness with God. I wanted to add these two verses to those two in Hebrews because I wanted you to have the assurance from Scripture that the one whom I'm proclaiming to you in the gospel, that there is forgiveness with him. Ah, but just a minute. Don't forget this. He's a righteous God and he's a holy God. He cannot overlook sin. There has to be a righteous basis upon which that forgiveness can be dispensed. God in the fullness of his heart is dispensing it tonight in the gospel. But it's on the basis of the precious work of Jesus. No one comes to the Father, Jesus says, unless by me. Or you may know your scriptures inside out much better than I do. You may come to church or to meetings like this, but it will not save you. You cannot declare that when you stand before God in the day to come. It'll cut no ice at all. Oh, friend, the precious work of Jesus is the only basis on which you can stand and have that blessed assurance. As one who wrote that hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," could say, It's the fact that Jesus is mine that makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. And so he says here, if thou, God, Jehovah, should mark iniquities, Lord, who shall stand? Who? Is there anyone in this room tonight foolish enough to think that they would stand? Foolish enough to think perhaps that good works they may have done in their life will justify them before God? Justification is on the basis of the precious work of Jesus and nothing else. And by trusting in him, you can be justified as though those sins had never even been done. In fact, note this, that God says in his word, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more forever. Oh, thank God for that. Would you want to be in heaven in eternity with the cloud of your sins over you for the whole of it? Of course not. No, you have the opportunity tonight for those sins to be completely washed away through his precious blood, so that you have peace and hope and joy and an eternity before you in a place that has been prepared by the one who died for you on Calvary's cross. And soon he's coming. He's coming again. And he's promised that he's going to come for all those who are trusting in him. I would just appeal to everyone here tonight. Trust in this Savior. You need him as much as I do. There is no other way. Peace is something that each one of us craves. The whole world craves it. But the name of Jesus is the only answer to the peace that is sought. And my earnest prayer tonight is that you might just turn now, just as you are, to Jesus. He's waiting and he's willing to meet your need. He knows and understands your case. And there's no sin too great that he can't meet it. Oh, the precious blood that was shed at Calvary can wash every sin away, so that you can have the peace you need. And you can look forward to a brighter future, because you can say heaven is your home. Oh, how foolish it is to just go through life here and just assume that at the end of it all, it'll be heaven. No, it won't. Friend, there's a way that leads to destruction and judgment. And there's a way that leads to life. Which way are you on? Tonight, you can make that decision. You can turn to the Saviour tonight. And you can know the joy and peace that comes with simply trusting in him, because your sins have been completely washed away. Well, may God bless the word to each one of us, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.